The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
All eyes, shortly after we come off air, are going to be on Alaska, where Donald Trump is meeting Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. Jeff Lanfield is with me. Jeff is the editor-in-chief at the Alaska Landmine. Jeff, you're very welcome to the show. What's the atmosphere like there in Alaska?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's I've lived in Alaska 21 years, and we've had some, you know, President Xi visited in 2017. We've had President Obama here, and there's been some kind of meetings like that. But this is unparalleled to any of that. I mean, it's I was yesterday kind of spending time around Anchorage, and there was just kind of a flurry of activity. One hotel near the airport, near the big airport, on a big floatplane lake was just crawling with Russians. Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, was there. I went there last night, and it was just dozens of outside, inside, some high-level people, one guy from the UN, a lot of security, it looked like, a lot of military-age, kind of hardcore-looking Russian dudes. There was a friend of mine was at Walmart and earlier in the day and saw a couple, you know, three or four Russian guys in suits buying some Johnny Walker Black Label. So there's journalists all over the place. Downtown was kind of, our big convention center was, hundreds of chairs were set up. There was a bunch of the NBC Nightly News was broadcasting from Anchorage. Sean Hannity's in town from Fox News. There's just a lot going on. It's a very, very, I think we're on the kind of world stage, Alaska, in this meeting, a historic meeting between, you know, Trump and Putin. And I think regardless of people's political feelings, and, you know, those are obviously mixed, but I think the vast majority of Alaskans are excited for us to be on the world stage here.
So can you tell us about where they're meeting? They're meeting in a joint military base outside Anchorage. Is that right?
It's in Anchorage. It's very close to Anchorage.
Okay.
It's called Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. It used to be, Elmendorf was an Air Force base and Fort Richardson was an Army base, and they combined them years ago to a joint base. But yeah, there's a huge runway there. I saw one report that it's 40 minutes away. No, it's right in Anchorage. It's part of Anchorage. So they'll be meeting there, which it's in some ways good, I guess, you know, security, but in other ways it's, you can't get on the base unless you have permission. So it's not really something people can go to. There's a gate. A lot of media was parked at the gate earlier broadcasting. But as far as greater access, that's the one kind of downside.
Any sign of protest or any serious protest being mounted in Anchorage?
There was a fairly large protest yesterday, pro-Ukraine protest in Midtown Anchorage outside a mall. Hundreds of people. I have a video I posted, and one of our guys were there taking photographs. Today there's a pro-Trump, the Alaska Republican Party is kind of advertising a pro-Trump rally in a couple hours, in about 4 hours here in Anchorage. So I'll be curious to see how big that one is. You know, Alaska, Trump won Alaska by 13 points, but Anchorage is more of a purple city. It's more of a progressive, you know, the mayor's progressive, our city council's very progressive. So Anchorage isn't politically at least representative of the full state of Alaska.
And I know that there's all these references recently since this meeting was announced, Jeff, to the fact that, you know, Russia, Alaska was kind of Russian territory up until the middle of the century before last. But setting that aside, I assume just given the geographical proximity, all things being normal, I mean, were the war in Ukraine not happening and were there not economic sanctions and embargoes and what have you, there'd be pretty serious trade and traffic between Russia and Alaska, would there?
Well, we used to have, it's not as serious as you might think, but we used to have flights. The Yakutia Air flew from Anchorage to Kamchatka and the Far East, Khabarovsk. It was a nonstop flight. That's been canceled. We have very, very close proximity. So Anchorage has a sister city of Magadan, where Putin was. I'm sure he's flying right now to Anchorage, but Magadan's one of Anchorage's sister cities. That was put on hold after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which I thought was too bad. Juneau has a sister city of Vladivostok. Fairbanks has a sister city of Irkutsk. So also during World War II, you know, Lend-Lease, all the American aircraft that went to the Soviet Union came through Alaska in Fairbanks. That's where the Soviet pilots took over. So there has been, you know, trade, and there has been kind of economic activity, and I hope that comes. I really hope that returns.
And just then, before I let you go, Jeff, you touched on this already in terms of you know, kind of being the focus of the world's attention. Alaska, I'm sure, again, given its geographical location, maybe there's a sense amongst Alaskans that they are often left out of the conversation, or they're not kind of seen as central to it. There must be a particular pride taken, the fact that, you know, there's such a focus on the state at the moment, is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. Sometimes we're at the, you know, the butt of a joke about Sarah Palin or some of our reality shows. And, you know, obviously a lot of people, they want to take a cruise to Alaska. I mean, they might want to go on a hiking or fishing trip. So we do have that kind of identity. But, I mean, we are, you know, Alaska, America's an Arctic nation, one of the eight Arctic nations, but that's because of Alaska. So I think sometimes we feel, Alaskans feel, that a lot of these decisions, big decisions, are made from D.C. and far away from Alaska. So I think the world kind of, you know, coming to Anchorage for this meeting is a positive thing, and I think most Alaskans are excited about that, for being on the map for something pretty historic.
Jeff, thanks a million for speaking to us.
Yeah, no problem.
Jeff Lanfield is the editor-in-chief at the Alaska Landmine. To get a sense of what Ukrainians here in Ireland are thinking about ahead of this meeting tonight, Megan O'Halloran, our reporter, has been speaking to them. She caught up with Heleb, who's a 20-year-old student, Ukrainian student here, and Michael Baskin of the Ukrainian Crisis Centre.
How do you feel about this meeting in Alaska?
So I think there's one thing. So I don't think Ukraine is perfect. You know, Ukrainian people has more questions to Ukrainian government more than anyone else. But there's one thing. If Russia stops fighting, people will just stop dying. If Ukraine stops fighting, there's going to be no Ukraine. So Putin will be asking for those four regions, you know, and there is a lot of fighting needs to be done for those four regions to take them fully, you know, to occupy them fully. And so I can see, obviously Ukraine wants a ceasefire, but not giving up all of our territory. And that's what Putin wants. So I don't really see any ceasefire coming out of this meeting. I think that America views China as bigger enemy than Russia. And I think if America will give Ukraine too much weapons, Russia will have nothing else to do but go become fully, you know, Chinese ally, if you know what I mean. And I think Trump will be trying to, you know, not taking anyone's side, or maybe taking slightly pro-Russian side at this meeting, you know. And I think Ukraine, unfortunately, will have to give up some of its territory. Because the way I see it is that American-Russian relationship is more important to Trump than American-Ukrainian relationship. You know what I mean?
Do you feel nervous for the outcome without President Zelensky in the room?
It's a good question. You know, I think Europe and Ukraine made it very clear that there is going to be, that they won't agree on any territory exchange without Europe and Ukraine being, you know, members of the discussion. I have a fear about that. You know, I think they will discuss something and they will make deal behind our backs. And yes, you know, it's not only me. I think every Ukrainian is afraid of that, because unfortunately Ukraine is not in the power of Americans what to do. And I think Americans really don't care, Trump don't care that much about Ukrainian interests, you know. And I'm just trying to understand, you know, why Russia needs a ceasefire. They just don't need it. There might be a few reasons why they need a ceasefire, but I mean, like, in the last few months, they gained a good chunk of Ukrainian territory. Economics, well, I mean, I think that Russian people feel the sanctions, but the army and war doesn't feel it, you know. There's an old Russian joke about that, you know, son saying to his father, "Father, you know, vodka became more expensive. Are you going to drink less?" And father answering to his son, you know, "No, son, we are going to eat less," you know. So maybe Russian people will feel the sanctions, but they will always will find money for the war. So, and like, as I said, Putin is gaining more and more territory every month. So I don't see why potentially, you know, Russia and Putin will stop, you know. And I think it's sad that, you know, current American president is taking pro-Russian side at this point. Well, I mean, a lot of Ukrainians understand that it's not going to end good for us. And
when you say that, what do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll have to give out our territory, and we'll have to give a lot of our territories, and we'll have to accept Russian like ceasefire plan, like pro-Russian ceasefire plan, you know, that will not be good for Ukraine. But the problem is that there is nothing we can do because we are not as powerful as Russia. You know, they got more resources. And Russia and America have their own business, you know. And Ukraine in between, I think both of the sides see Ukraine as a problem, you know, because this war makes trouble for Russia and America to do their own business, you know what I mean? And Ukraine, a lot of Ukrainians understand that both sides see us as a problem. So I don't think this meeting will end the war. And the problem is that in the last few months, in the last year, the support from Western countries to Ukraine has been decreased. And the problem is that in the last few years, North Korea by itself supplied Russia with more shells than Europe altogether. And, you know, the number of, you know, weapons and ammo coming in from like Russian allies like Iran, North Korea, China is only increasing, while the support from Western countries is decreasing. I think it's really bad as well. And I also think that it is in Chinese interest for like war to keep going, because, you know, there is a good chances that China in 2027 will be invading Taiwan, and I think they want to keep this war until 2027, you know, to make occupation of Taiwan easier, because if West will have to, you know, to divide help, to divide, you know, military support between Ukraine and Taiwan, it's going to be really difficult for them, you know what I mean? And I think it's not only in Russian interest to keep the war going, I think it's in interest of China as well. And I think China is more powerful than Russia at this point. And I think China has enough resources to supply Russia until 2027. But I think Russia by itself has a pretty good economy. Military economy. You know, as this joke I told you, you know, they will always find money for war. Doesn't matter for the next year, for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years. They will always find manpower, resources and money for the war. It's not a problem for Russia. But does Europe... Because we can see what's going on in America, you know, Trump making it very clear that they're not going to support Ukraine forever. And does Europe have the opportunity to support Ukraine?
So that was Haleb. He's a 20-year-old Ukrainian student living here since the Russian invasion of his country. Here now is Michael Baskin of the Ukrainian Crisis Center.
I feel, and I think I can share the views of many Ukrainians, the meeting in Alaska not going to deliver any results today. It will be the talk about the between American and president and Russian president, but it's not going to deliver any results. And Ukrainians more concentrated on the news from front lines, from battlefield, actual decisions are made every day. Like, I'm worried about the consequences of the meeting, which is the consequences could be increased pressure on the Ukrainian government and President Zelensky from both sides, especially from the United States of America. Because that's the vital partners, but I only fear on that outcomes. The decision, even if or agreement about transferring Russian territories or primarily agreements between two presidents, I don't see them could be implemented. So the only worries about in the diplomatical or political sense that increased pressure on the Ukrainian government to surrender, basically. That's Putin. What's Putin looking is for Ukraine to surrender. Then he's not looking for the peace deal. He's not accepting Ukraine as the state. So I would be worried about the increased pressure.
Do you see yourself returning to Ukraine?
Well, it's not directly applies to me. I'm here over 20 years. But I know many Ukrainians would like to come, return to Ukraine, come back home when the situation is gets better. But in practical terms, people stays where their life is better, and all the statistics and outcome of the previous events, like Yugoslavia war, where there would be mass migrations. People generally doesn't return home into the places where life is worse than in the country they are. They get settled, they get the jobs. A lot of Ukrainians actually do get the jobs. People go to school, and it's been for many years. So even if a lot of people would like to return home, doesn't mean they will return. Even that's probably Irish will understand people missing home but lives in the mentioned United States and across the, around the world for all their lives but missing home. So,
do you still think Ukrainian people feel welcome in Ireland?
I think it's a yes and no. We hear a lot of negative stories again in the even during the last months, aggression towards immigrants. But I still believe it's not a majority of the Irish people, and the stories or the not the stories, but the opinions are amplified through the social media, through the bots account. And I believe in general people who supports Ukrainian or just has no opinion maybe on it, maybe they just understand, they wouldn't go and voice their opinions on the social media. But from my interaction with the public in general, in I think majority of Irish people understand the situation and accept Ukrainians.
So that was Michael Baskin. We heard from Hella before, neither of whom are too optimistic about what might come from Anchorage. Why would they be? Jeff Lanfield mentioned that Sergei Lavrov is there. Do you know what he turned up at the hotel wearing? A USSR sweatshirt. So that's their attitude going into these talks. We'll have to wait and find out what comes of them a little bit later this evening here on News Talk.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.